no more, because you start your day with Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, 5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Don't jinx it, but that's 4 days in a row of sunshine at this time. I will take that and the lower temperature. Somehow that's the best of both worlds, right? Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. We have Mike there. Hey, Mike, can you hear me now, sir?
Yes.
All right. Sorry about that. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, man.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So let's start with this. It's not related to any particular recent event in terms of crimes that we always will talk about. But we've been talking this week about the changeover in from off-duty law enforcement officers to guardians in the elementary schools that has been done in the county and is now also starting in the city. Scenic Heights Elementary is the first one. The other day, the assistant superintendent presented to the school board and said that process will continue as they hire guardians, that they're going to transition from the off-duty law enforcement, which is you guys, to having guardians trained specifically for school defense to school shooters. Does PPD have a perspective on this? Do you have a preference on this? Anything you want to say about this policy change? Or if I've described it inaccurately, please correct me.
No, you've described it perfectly, but as far as the preference goes, that's totally up to the school board. And we're going to go and do what they asked us to do. If they want us in the schools, then we will be there. And if they would rather have the guardians there, then that's how it's going to be.
Okay, so, I mean, they didn't come to you and ask what you want or, you know, anything like that. And you guys haven't expressed, we prefer it this way or that way. Your policy is, hey, we're here to serve them and, you know, whatever they need us to do, we'll do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're here to do whatever the school board asks us to do.
Okay, fair enough. Turning now to crime and events, you guys have continued to search for LaTanya Baxter, and it's been all over the county. You guys have been searching with the help of the sheriff's office. Have we found anything at this point?
No, we're looking, and we're following up on leads. We get leads in, and we certainly would like to have more. But officers have been out in several different locations for multiple days looking, and we're not going to stop looking until we've either found the body or we just completely run out of leads. So we're urging people up in that area, Century, maybe over into Escambia County, Alabama, if they have trail cameras, to please take a look at those, because we know that suspects have been caught on trail cameras before. There was a infamous case in Santa Rosa County where a couple was caught, and I believe a case here in Escambia County.
Yep.
On trail cameras. So
yeah, Billy Boyette and Mary Rice were caught from a trail cam, right?
That's correct. So we're hoping that these people will check those trail cameras for us, and if they spot anybody on their property that doesn't belong, we would like to see those images.
All right, very good. And I don't know the answer to this, but sometimes I don't, you know, there's reasons I ask these questions. Has PPD been involved at all in the search for Brian Laundrie, or is that, I mean, I just, you know, there hasn't been any reported sightings here in Escambia County, but, you know, you guys haven't been involved in that at all, right?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to check. Other things that have been happening, there was a shooting, at Pensacola Village over a personal affront, laughing at somebody. What happened here?
I'm not sure what the details were. I do know that we charged one person, and another person we determined was acting in self-defense, so no charges on him. But, that an arrest has been made, and that case has been taken care of.
All right, very good. You guys also had a recent event. I don't know how much to make of it exactly, but just another week in traffic enforcement where you guys arrested a guy from Milton who didn't want to pull over, and then he rammed into one of your cruisers or something after the fact.
Yeah, and that happens a lot lately, and I'm not sure why. And, some of these people are wanted on serious felony warrants, maybe on narcotics, and others it's just a traffic ticket that they were going to get, and possibly a warning, and they choose to panic and flee and then damage our cruisers while they're doing that, which really makes things a lot more serious than what the whole thing started over. So I really can't really wrap my head around that, why somebody would do something like that if they're fleeing because they're about to go back to prison. You can somewhat understand that, but it's still a very dangerous thing to do.
Well, I mean, you know, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but as we've talked about many times, the kind of people who commit crimes are often also the kind of people who make really bad decisions, often under emotional circumstances in the moment. And, you know, you get somebody at a crisis point where he thinks he's going to have to go back to jail, and he hates that, and he can't think straight and makes terrible decisions and has worse consequences because of it, right? So it's, you know, that's what you guys deal with all the time, is people who are in that kind of situation. Anything else that's happened over the last couple of days that we don't already know about?
No, it's been quiet. And, you know, every time I say that, I've got people that I work with, mainly bosses, that say that, knock on wood, when I talk like that. But, you know, in law enforcement, it's a good thing to be able to say that. And we like to see how long that will go. But I'm knocking on wood as we speak.
I got a text in from somebody asking about the search for LaTonya Baxter. I think this was the one where you guys were using the electronics sniffing dogs, the ones that can detect things like chips and phones and memory cards and USBs and things like that. Is there a reason why that dog in particular was used?
Yeah, we're looking for electronic evidence. We're looking for anything that could be over there, phones, watches, anything like that that's electronics that may have been in that area that we could relate to that case is what we're looking for.
Okay, so even if you do not manage to find her body, obviously finding anything that you had a high likelihood of presence of these people in that area, maybe they drop something and maybe you find it, right?
That, exactly, and we, you know, you never know what kind of leads we could get from that. So we're trying everything that we can with these, you know, canines. We've got electronic canines, and then there's also canines that can track. There's bloodhounds that we have access to, and there's cadaver dogs.
And you'd certainly hate to have found out after the fact, or never, that there was something there that you could have found if you'd used the right resource, but you didn't use the right resource. So throw all the resources at it and see what you get, right?
That's exactly right. We're going to throw everything at this case that we have.
All right. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you. We're talking to Mike Wood, public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. One thing, it came up in the city council meeting this week, and I think Chief Randall kind of addressed it, but the question about converting the fleet over to electric or to hybrid vehicles from the current gasoline fleet. He talked about that being very expensive in the front end, maybe a cost savings on the back end. My concern whenever we talk about something like that is, in a storm, in a crisis, when power is not available, would the fleet still be reliable to get around and do what it needs to do? Have you guys had any conversations internally about that possible conversion?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, that's going to be a great thing once it's here and once it's working, but in police work, we can't take any chances. We have to have a vehicle that's reliable under all conditions. And I think that something like an electric police vehicle, a complete switchover is quite a ways off.
Yeah, a fair distance off, and obviously the front end cost would be prohibitive as well. One last quick thing before we get to our cop myth. The conversation at the City of Pensacola this week has been all about the number of noise complaints and the amount, how to enforce it. I think the current ordinance is just about unenforceable. Unfortunately, they're talking about purchasing decibel readers, which I think that's a step in the right direction, getting a good noise ordinance to enforce. But I know you're supposed to report back to City Council, and not to steal their report on the topic, but still, is this something you get a lot of, noise reports, neighbors with loud noise, lawnmowers, weed eaters, all of that kind of stuff? Is that a common kind of call that you guys have to respond to a lot?
It's not that we have to respond to it a lot. It has happened. We have had decibel meters in the downtown area measuring music coming from different venues down there, but which is one of our complaints. The other complaint that we get a lot of is loud mufflers, or lack thereof, mufflers on vehicles in the downtown area.
So you guys already have some decibel meters?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Maybe I knew that, but I don't know. I had forgotten that, so that's useful to know. All right, fair enough. So we always like to end with a cop myth, some belief that people have about policing, usually from the television, that is not accurate. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and it involves driving somebody to the scene of a felony, like an armed robbery that could turn into a homicide or maybe a drive-by shooting. And those two incidents, we have a lot of this, where you have a driver that didn't pull the trigger, but he drove the vehicle for those who did. And the thought is that that person can't be charged with homicide or armed robbery like the person that actually committed the homicide or the armed robbery. And that's simply not true. They can be charged as an accessory or as a principal. Every situation is going to be different. But if you drive somebody to go commit a crime like that, you're just as guilty.
So, and this is, they call it what, the felony murder rule, right? Which is that if you're driving the car or an accomplice to the murder, it's just as if you pulled the trigger. But is that also true for even if a murder doesn't occur? Like if it's, and I hate to say just, but you know what I mean, if it's just an aggravated battery or something like that, is it still that the person who's the accomplice is susceptible to that level of charge?
Absolutely. And it's just, it's not just homicide. It could be, you know, a kidnapping or, you know, there's several different crimes that if you're involved by, simply by driving a vehicle, you're going to get charged.
Well, that's I mean, useful to know, but a reminder. I think mostly our audience, it's learning about how things affect other people. But certainly, we hope that that would be a lesson to anybody who might be considering being an accomplice to a crime. That yeah, you can go down for it too, just like anybody else. Hey, last just real quick thing, Mike. I know you are often working on the bridge, policing the bridge, 3 mile bridge, while the construction is ongoing. I haven't put eyes on the roundabout recently. You're my best eyes on because you go by that area like almost every day. Have they been putting more layers on? Have you got a sense of how close they are at all?
Yeah, they're getting there. There's pavement around the roundabout. There's one layer there. They've got quite a ways to go, but they're pouring concrete three nights a week on the new span, on the second span. So yeah, they're getting there bit by bit.
Yeah, you're like the most eyewitness outside of Skanska or FDOT to be seeing this process firsthand. So it's kind of always interesting to hear the things that you see every day. You know, when the lanes get closed overnight, that's often Mike Wood's involved in that. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, I appreciate the time and all the information. Thanks for protecting us, sir.
Thank you.